I tell you what, some of your Spurs players looked as though they're playing in square-toed boots, I thought, against Arsenal, actually, on Monday.
Well, we actually take a draw there. I mean, I know we were ahead for most of the match, and you know, once again we conceded a lead in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But you do actually take a draw at Arsenal.
Oh, that's so defeatist. I've got Matt Brown with me. He's a Liverpool fan. They lost a home to Crystal Palace.
No,
I mean,
no talk. No, I'm walking out if you're going to bring up that.
Stephen Kearney said
that's
that.
That's what we want to talk about, the training facilities at Melwood.
First thing he said is Jurgen Klopp came out and said, tell me about the tackle, because we don't tackle, didn't he?
Yes. Yes, look, great facilities. Great facility. That's all I'll talk about. It was like carpet. I think he described it as a bowling green. Their third training pitch.
Yeah, it makes no difference, mate. I mean, England had all the facilities at the Rugby World Cup. Graham, do you think that Stuart Lancaster has copped it unfairly?
Yeah, but, you know, it's an England sporting team. They're always going to have to find a scapegoat, don't they?
True.
They never got out of pool play in their home World Cup. He had to go. Look, he had some reasonable results. He beat us in, was it 2012? By a big win, England's biggest ever win over the All Blacks. But he lost the ones that counted, and particularly in the World Cup. That Wales match were haunted for a long time.
Wasn't him, though. They called it at the end, mate. Two words for you, Graham.
The coach.
Clive Woodward. They could have got rid of him. They didn't. He stayed on. He won a World Cup.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Lancaster's the new Clive Woodward, though. But, yeah, no, I just think with that kind of uproar and the fact that, as Matt said, they didn't get out of pool play in their own World Cup, you know, they kind of have to find someone. That's just how modern sport works.
Sam Burgess, then.
We need to talk.
We need to talk about Sam Burgess. Whose fault is this whole debacle? And in the end, Matt, does it really matter? Because Lee get their player back, and we're going to forget about this as quickly as England's disastrous campaign, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Look, the reality is Sam Burgess failed in rugby union, but it wasn't necessarily totally his fault. I think, you know, he was played as a loose forward, and then he played in the centres. They couldn't really work out what his best position was. I think his club team said he was going to be better playing on the side of a scrum or a number eight.
That was going to take a couple of years.
He was in the backs, you know, and they rushed him into the England side. He shouldn't have played at the Rugby World Cup. And maybe if he had just stayed and played club rugby, maybe he would have actually still stayed in the code next year, and we would have seen a better Sam Burgess. There's very few players, Israel Folau perhaps being an exception, who trends, you know, change codes and adapt really quickly to the other code. Very few rugby league players have come into rugby union and have succeeded. That's
and the ones that have flip-flopped and gone back, you know, Brad Thorne, of course, he was pretty damn impressive, wasn't he? But Gaznia, Wendell, Matt Rogers, Benji, these are the guys that sort of spring to mind, Graham.
I think Matt Rogers was probably a success, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, with the Wallabies, I think so, for sure.
But yeah, you're right. And
Brad Thorne.
Thorne was better second time around.
Yeah, true.
If I remember rightly.
Yep.
But he
still went back to league and played like a colossus. He won a championship with Brisbane,
Mark,
didn't he?
Mighty rugby players going to league too. You know, Mark Ellis, not as good in league as he was in rugby. John Kerwin.
John Kerwin's the big one there.
Yeah, Mark Carter. Mark Brooke Cowden.
Yeah,
and Mosi
exactly.
Coloto. Yeah, the list goes on and on, doesn't it?
But
in the end, though, is it again like Lancaster, Graham, in that they have to find a scapegoat and Burgess is convenient?
Yeah, I think they're kind of a bit too much fuss about Burgess. I mean, you know, you don't get kicked out of a World Cup because your substitute second five isn't up to it. You know, there are a few more players on the field than Burgess, really. And
yep.
I sort of wonder if it's a bit of that class thing and the union versus league and all the happy clappies and that sort of stuff. And Sam Burgess was a pretty obvious target.
I just wonder also, Matt, that, you know, the shame being that you never got to see how good he could potentially have been. I mean, this is a guy that is one of the best rugby league players in the world. He's not going to be a bad rugby player, is he?
No, he's not going to be a bad player. And from all accounts, you know, in the early days, he certainly he showed what he could do, but it was fleeting. And, of course, he had to play he was basically used as a battering ram with England, which is not really what I think he would have, you know, set out to do when he changed codes initially, because he's got the skill set to perhaps offer more than that. Playing out of position, shouldn't have played a second five at a World Cup. Luther Burrell, I think, was there, the English incumbent who missed the squad. So your Lancaster, going back to him, you know, he made some very poor decisions, him and his team, and has to go. And
yeah, but how many of those were his decisions?
Well, he was the head coach. So he was the head coach and ultimately his responsibility.
Buck stops. All right, before we leave this, Graham, a question that's coming on the text. Did Burgess seek rugby out, or did rugby seek him? Because if rugby went after him, they've only got themselves to blame. He's back where he's wanted, he's respected and loved, says Todd. Quite true. That's what we understand, wasn't it, that they came knocking?
That's my understanding. And, I mean, the theory is, and facts kind of prove it, that when they did come knocking, they guaranteed him a place in the World Cup squad.
Yeah, and I think that's a part of it.
You know, it was a gamble that they did. I don't know how much Lancaster would have been part of that. It was probably done a bit higher up, actually. But, I mean, he'd certainly been across it.
Well, there's history for that, though. I mean, the All Blacks, I would imagine, pretty much that with Sonny Bill Williams, too. And, of course, but he turned out to be a success.
It wasn't as much of a gamble, though, was it?
No, not as much of a gamble.
Okay, we got
to... We need to talk.
Would you wear the square-toed boots, Graham, to play footy?
I'm not that. No, I wouldn't.
Okay, what about you, Matt?
I would, because I played sub-football on Monday night, and my skills let me down. I think anything. I'll try anything at the moment, mate. There you go. I struggled. I'm admitting it.
Have you seen them grow? They're just a gimmick, aren't they?
Yeah, probably.
The first person I thought of when I saw them was Don Clark.
Yeah.
I'm sure he wore boots like that, didn't he?
But, well, Kieran's got a pair of his boots from 59, from the Lions series. Yeah. Oh, okay. We'll move straight on from that then.
Finally, we need to talk.
Finally, Graham, Mitchell Stark's down one end. You're batting, and he comes in and he biffs the ball at you. What are you going to do?
Throw him a bat at him. Like, can't remember who it was in the IPL, did it, when Mitchell Stark... So Stark has got form in doing this.
Yeah, did it to Ben Stokes.
The batsman. It's not a good look, is it?
Mind you, if you throw the bat and you let it go, once it's gone, you're not getting it back, are you? He's got it then. He's got the bat and the ball.
Well, there is a bit of that. Yeah, I guess actually the first thing you do is just try and get out of the way.
We had somebody ring up before, Matt, and they said, tell him you're going to phone the lawyers.
Well, if it hit you.
Yeah, exactly. That'd work.
Exactly. I can't wait for this test tomorrow, though. I cannot wait, Perth. I mean, you guys.
Aren't you a little bit apprehensive?
Oh, yes and no. But, I think we'll bat all right. I think we'll be better for that. Having had 5 days in Brisbane, we were totally underprepared. We will be a lot better for that effort. And I expect a better performance. I think our bowlers, Southie should play.
It's just a shame, Graham, that we actually, you know, that our warm-up match is also called a test.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Do other countries do this? I don't really think they do they? And I know. And you know, those are the noises coming out of the camp. Is that, you know, it was a really good warm-up match we had in Brisbane. And here we go into Perth. I'm not comfortable playing Southie. Admittedly, I'm not over there. And, you know, I don't know how injured he is. But I just don't think you're taking a fast bowler with the hint of an injury.
No.
This match.
No.
You know,
so who replaces him? Do you go Wagner or do you go
Wagner's
McLennigan?
McLennigan,
leapfrogs the two who were already over there. Well, McLennigan came over.
And you can't play Craig as a number seven batsman.
Well, they said they're going to do that.
I don't agree with that.
No, that really exposes the tail, doesn't it? Four seamers and a spinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they're saying that because, you know, we only got 8 wickets and half of those were bought in Brisbane, we need as many bowlers as we can. And that's
they're panicking a little bit.
It is a panic and it's a huge gamble. I can kind of see where they're coming from, though. So that's looking at four seamers. So you play Henry and Wagner will be good in Perth because he can bowl into the Fremantle Dockers.